Stephanie Wolfe.
From Vampire Academy by Rochelle Mead. "What do you want?" I demanded. Mia smiled haughtily at Lyssa and ignored me, taking a few steps forward.
"Just wanted to know what it's like to be so important and so royal. You must be so excited that the queen talked to you."
Giggles surfaced from the gathering group. "You're standing too close." I stepped between them, and Mia flinched a little, possibly still worried I might break her arm. "And hey, at least the queen knew her name, which is more than I can say for you and your wannabe royal act, or your parents." From Testimony by Anita Shreve.
This town hasn't been the same since. George and Jill Marsh moved away for good. They went to stay with Jill's mother up to Ludlow while they rented out their 12-room house. They rented it to CNN and asked $1,000 a night, and God love 'em, they got it. George and Jill raised $20,000 that way. And then one of the CNN technicians took a shine to the house and offered them $150,000 in cash, as is, which they realized was enough to buy themselves a condo in Florida. So, they are in Tampa now for good. Anyway, Ebbett and me, we don't socialize with Fred anymore, though I don't hold a grudge like Ebbett does. If I see Fred and his wife in church, I'll say hello like any good Christian. I do think the kids are probably drinking less, though, because it's so damned hard to get the booze anymore. Attendance at Sunday breakfast is way up, if that's any indication.
From The Sagan Diary by John Scalzi. I am not death. I am killing. I am the verb. I am the action. I am the performance. I am the movement that cuts the spine. I am the mass which pulps the brain. I am the head snap, ejecting consciousness into the air. I am not death, but she follows close behind. The noun, the pronouncement, the denouement, and the end. I have wondered whether death collapses the point into nothingness or expands it into eternity. But I do not wonder long. I am killing. I am the action. And I have a job to do. From Cain's Reckoning by Sarah McCarty.
Whatever she's waiting for, you better deliver it, because the woman can't afford to lose another pound.
True enough, Tracker agreed. As it is, if we get a stiff wind up here, we're going to have to tie her down.
Cain ground his back teeth.
I'm working on it.
Working on what? Tia asked, stopping by the door with a stack of folded clothes.
Dizzy.
Her nerves will not settle unless she feels she has a place.
She's my wife. How much more sense of place does she need?
Men leave their wives all the time.
Cain took another sip of his whiskey.
Any man worth his salt does not abandon his wife.
We know that, but she doesn't.
He cocked a brow at Tia.
Got any ideas as to how?
I would not think of interfering between a husband and a wife.
That got a chuckle all around. Tia was chock full of opinions, and not one was she shy about sharing.
From Heart of the Storm by Lindsay McKenna.
Come here.
She gave him a slight tug. Surprised, Chase saw a new glimmer in Dana's cinnamon eyes. Her voice was low, filled with promise of something he so badly wanted to share. His deep love for her. He cocked his head slightly and assessed her.
Is this what I think it is? Above all, Chase wanted no misunderstandings between them. Not now. Not on something this important. Her lips curved softly, and the gleam in her eyes turned to a sparkle.
It is. I'm ready, Chase.
Ready. The word drummed through him, and his heartbeat picked up and thudded heavily in response. Releasing her hand, he gave her a careless smile. Her pulse accelerated as Chase walked back over to the blanket where she knelt. The look on his face sent a wild yearning through Dana. Eyes hooded and blazing with hunger, he settled on his knees before her. Lifting his hands, he framed her face. She eased her chin up and waited a heartbeat in time.